Welcome to the Tip TV Finance Show, where I'm joined by Justin Urquhart-Stewart, founder and CEO at Seven Investment Management. How are you today, Justin?
Good morning.
Right, I've got a question for you. I believe in one of our previous conversations we mentioned the old way that the stock market had regional exchanges around the place. We seem to be losing Scotland, Wales and other parts of the UK, or risk doing that. Is that a serious threat to the UK, United Kingdom at the moment?
I think it is a very serious threat to the overall economy of the United Kingdom. I'd also add to that, in terms of regional stock exchanges, we're in danger of losing our only stock exchange at the moment, if that then becomes the Deutsche Börse. But no, if you do start splitting those nations up, then by the very nature of the economy, you're going to lose the economies of scale, disrupt trade, and that's bad for all concerned. It's particularly bad for Scotland. Scotland could secede as a viable kingdom. Oh, well, yes, it would technically still be a kingdom, but it would be a very weak economy. It was weak enough when the oil price was 115. Oil price at 50, then very weak, running a current account deficit slightly worse than Greece at the moment. So really, a very bad idea. Even if you want to vote for independence, don't do it for the time being, certainly until your economy is stronger.
In fact, on that note, it's rather ironic that of all the messages from Project Fear, that wasn't actually one of them, that the UK could break up.
Yeah, I mean, that's no one had really considered the fact that actually different areas would actually vote so decisively in different directions. In many ways, you would have actually thought Northern Ireland would be far more pro-Europe than it actually turned out to be. But of course, that in itself is quite divisive in terms of how the province is split. Wales, by its very nature, has less division to it. But of course, in Scotland, really, that is very significant indeed. So it's going to cause, I think, a lot of disruption in terms of the rest of the Brexit discussions, because there's constant threat behind you. And what you've got, of course, is Mrs. May now fighting two unions on two fronts. And that's not an easy thing to do.
The other point is, I mean, do you think, from an investment point of view, is this putting off potential buyers of, UK PLC? I mean, how do you think that's panning out?
Well, I think in terms of our own markets, I don't think that's going to have such an impact. Remember, still most of our markets, even when you get out of the FTSE 250, that's still half overseas in terms of the overall turnover going through. So I don't think that'll have such an impact. People will be looking at the companies themselves and how they're operating. But certainly, I think the two things you really should be looking at very clearly, carefully indeed, is one is government debt and how much more we're going to have to pay for that debt. Remember, only about 4 years ago, we were paying about 36 billion a year, which is big enough anyway in terms of interest. We're now paying 50 billion a year. Okay, the debt is high, but so is the cost of that debt. And put that into perspective, our defence budget's about 40 billion. Now, if we lose further confidence, you could easily see that rising to 60, 65. And again, put that into context, VAT income is about 120 billion. So suddenly, if you're losing nearly half of your income just on your interest bill, that is really going to make it very difficult indeed. The second issue to look at will be inward investment. When we go back again 2 years, we were the third largest recipient of inward investment in the world, after China, after America. It wasn't France, it wasn't Germany, it wasn't Japan. And that was the second year in a row, about £1 trillion worth. Last year, that didn't happen. We haven't got the full figures yet, but we can see quite clearly there was less inward investment. And in fact, certain people, particularly as we see in the City of London, actually talking about moving their investments elsewhere. Obviously, to continental Europe, or of course to Dublin, now nicknamed Canary Dwarf, as being the area which would attract a certain amount of business, financial services business, as it's trying to make itself more appealing.
So the kindness of strangers may not be coming in, as Mark Carney has warned or suggested.
We're going to have to be kinder to the strangers. We're going to be having to kiss them to actually try and make themselves look really very attractive indeed, because they'll look at it and they'll just say, where's the future? What are you doing? Until they can start seeing very clearly what Brexit actually looks like. Doesn't matter whether you're pro or anti. At the moment, it's just a fog, so nobody can see what's happening. Once you've got a clearer idea, then at least you can then make your decision. At the moment, we're just giving the excuse to people to go elsewhere because they can't see through London's fog.
Well, even worse, I mean, I think anybody listened to Radio 4 this morning would have heard, I believe it was Lord Miners or somebody of that ilk, complaining about how vulnerable UK companies are to being taken over and wanting more action to prevent that happening. And that's also money that we need. We need people to take over Unilever and BP or whatever other company it is in order to right that deficit that we have.
Yeah, well, you want people to be, I think it's to be very aggressive just to merely say, oh, you mustn't allow these sort of takeovers to go ahead. What I do want to make sure, if we don't go down the American route of actually having everybody having to have quarterly reporting, longer term reporting, and my one criticism of corporate America generally is they're very short term, as we saw the comparison of Kraft versus Unilever, who tend to take a longer term view. But no, you're quite right. We don't want to dissuade people from the takeovers and mergers and things like that because we want money to be coming in. The other side of that, and this way it goes back to your regional stock exchanges again, in terms of where are the new businesses coming through? At the moment, you've got new businesses being developed, some through private equity, venture capital, private money, but they're not coming to a market that we can trade in because we don't have one. The AIM market, sadly, now is no more than a tax wrapper, certainly not the beast that was originally invented in Glasgow in the early 90s. And so as well as actually finding ourselves, if miners is going to constrict takeovers for the large operations, well, that's to me is looking backwards, but also look forwards and say, where are the new businesses that we can all invest in? That many investors, you know, these are the exciting growth businesses, but if you can't get access to them and they will need access to capital, then frankly, we're hurting the British economy.
So we actually need a new stock exchange?
Yes, I would actually do it regionally. If you really wanted a northern powerhouse, ask the question, I don't actually need a mayor. Now, where's your money coming from? And the first thing they'll say is, well, government support. Cross out the word government. Where's your money coming from? And the answer is you should be able to redirect local investment money into local investments. Why not? Why wouldn't you? People want to be able to do that, but there is no mechanism to be able to do so in a manner which is for longer term equity investment, which is normally 5 years plus, in a manner which gives you a tax break, EIS and things like that, and being able to provide support to the local economy. Where is the logic against that? I just find it very frustrating indeed. This will develop. It'll probably develop through the more advanced online crowdfunding structures, but be wary because some of those are very dangerous. They don't do the proper due diligence on companies coming through, or come to that, the investors either. But when they do actually establish those with the right due diligence, that I suspect will be the model we'll be using regionally.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, founder and CEO at Seven Investment Management, thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.